It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're devoting our show today to coverage in the wake of the tragic killing of five people in a shooting at a backyard party in the borough of Wilkinsburg last night. Three others injured and in hospital. Two gunmen are still at large, and the county police are investigating. George Spencer is the president and CEO of the Greater Pittsburgh Chapter of Mad Dads, which stands for Men Against Destruction, Defending Against Drugs and Social Disorder. It's a grassroots group of volunteers that conduct street patrols and engage community members one-on-one in an attempt to address gun violence and drug use. Mr. Spencer is also a Wilkinsburg resident and went to the scene of the shooting around midnight last night to comfort witnesses and family members. He spoke this morning with 90.5 WESA's Liz Reed.
What motivated you to go to the scene of the shooting in Wilkinsburg last night?
Well, my wife and I were watching the 11 o'clock news. So my initial response was, well, you know, perhaps I ought to just stay here. But then they showed a father that had came on the scene wondering if his son was one of the people. And that's what motivated me to go down there. I told my wife, I said, you know something, I'm going to go down there. At the minimum, I need to stand with him. I mean, this man is worried about his son. And I called our street patrol director, and we both decided, you know what, we need to get in uniform and get down there. I never did meet the father.
What did you feel that your role was? To help comfort people, to give them someone to talk to?
Exactly. That was my primary thought at the time. Sometimes when these situations happen, you don't know if you're going to engage very angry people that are retaliation-minded, and that's one type of engagement. I didn't see any of that. This was primarily just broken people, broken-hearted people that highly concerned about, you know, whether their child or family member had perished in this, more so than a we got to find them and get them type of, you know, a group. And sometimes we come on the scene, you run into some of that. That we didn't run across anybody that was of that communicated anything like that in our presence, I'll put it like that.
As not only an activist, but a community member, a neighbor in this situation, what's your reaction?
This has tremendously disturbing aspects to it. We've got a bad problem, as we've known for quite some time, but people that are that brazen that whatever problem someone had with someone or some people that were at that, from hearing, sounds like it was a family get-together, family and friends barbecue, and to be willing to come and just slaughter people like that with children on the premises is very, very disturbing.
I know your group, you know, in and of itself can't solve the problem of gun violence in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and across the nation, but what do you see as a place to start to address these kinds of issues?
Well, we're grassroots in nature. Mad Dads is, and so our goal is to try to impact things at a street level and to be a presence and a surrogate dad type figure, you know, because we know part of the problem. We try to fill in the gap of fatherlessness. We know we have had a growing problem of absentee fathers in a lot of families, and we believe that disturbs what could be a normal balance of a family, and so we try to be a surrogate type father on the street. So that's one kind of element of the problem. But then, of course, to the degree that crime is a crime, I mean, murder, of course, is a crime in and of itself, but crimes that may be associated with trying to make money, whether that's selling drugs or other vice, that leads to other spinoff types of crimes, whether they be robberies because people are addicted, or robberies because people want to get the money or drugs or the people to sell them. Or, well, you know, we've got that issue. We've got a serious unemployment issue to the degree you can help get people employed, but we've got a massive I think our problem with regards to the number of things that feed into this, and part of it, it just seems like our culture, when I say our culture, I'm talking about the culture of the nation, it just seems like the willingness to use firearms has, you know, offensively, has escalated tremendously in recent years. Things that perhaps we begin to deal with children at a younger age that to try to help not glorify that type of behavior. Certainly, I guess the education element of the impact of these types of actions is major. You know, we're faith-based, and so certainly, you know, we don't rule that out. In fact, we raise that to a high element, the need for, you know, spiritual education, you know, which deals with morality. We certainly aren't the answer to the whole thing. There are other people doing great things as well that we don't do. But I think we really are at a situation here where we need the law-abiding people that have high standards of morality to kind of find their lane and get hands-on in some way with reaching someone. That's my view of it.
George Spencer, thank you so much for joining us today and for providing your perspective.
Thank you.
And that was 90.5 WESA's Liz Reed speaking with George Spencer, a Wilkinsburg resident and anti-violence activist. As I mentioned earlier, Wilkinsburg is known as the city of churches, and we were interested in hearing reaction from the spiritual community of Wilkinsburg. I'm joined now live on the phone from Wilkinsburg by Pastor Thomas Mitchell of the Wilkinsburg Ministerium and Sanctuary Project. Pastor Mitchell, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
I'm curious if you can put into words the reaction, the feelings that people like you in Wilkinsburg are having today after last night's tragic shooting.
I've talked to several of the clergy that we work together in the Sanctuary Project and part of the ministerium, and we're all heartbroken for one. And it's really hard for us, because we don't know all the victims and we don't know all the families, because that information hasn't come out yet. It's hard for us because there's some way we want to reach out to them and give them some comfort and maybe say some words to them or just be there to let them know there's somebody there that's willing to listen, that's willing to cry with them or do whatever it takes to get them to try to help them get through this time. And this evening at around 5 o'clock, we plan on going as close as we can to where that site is and having a prayer vigil as clergy and different members of the Sanctuary Project. We plan on meeting there and just coming together and pray over that place and pray for the victims and the families of those victims and just let them know there's somebody out there that wants to be there for them, that they just don't have to do this alone. There's somebody there that wants to hear their cry and cry with them.
And so that's happening at 5 o'clock this evening, and you say it'll be as close to where these tragic events occurred as possible. And who all will be involved? There will be representatives from different churches in Wilkinsburg as well as residents?
Yes. It'll be different churches. It'll be different organizations, because the Sanctuary Project has not only clergy, but it has leaders from different organizations that are involved in the Sanctuary Project. So we're inviting them to come, and we're inviting anyone who might hear this. And we put it out there on our Facebook, on each of our individual Facebooks, and we're calling people that we know as friends and people that, you know, that we are in concert with to come on out and just come and support. Just come and if you don't do anything, but come pray silently, just to come be there. Let the families know there's somebody there for you.
And Pastor Mitchell, you say you spoke with the victims' families today. How would you characterize?
Well, I didn't speak to the victims' family. I spoke to one member of a family.
Okay.
And she was distraught and she said she was tired and she hadn't slept in 24 hours. And she I don't think it's really hit her yet. For lack of a better way to say it. But she's glad she knows we're there. And she said she's really appreciative that she knows that somebody's there that she can call. Now, I left the door open for her. She needs to call the chaplains or call me personally. That she's more than welcome to call at any time that she might need to hear from one of us.
This is a very important time for someone like you. You are someone that that people need in their lives at a time like this, certainly, I would imagine.
Oh, I've been through tragedies like this myself, and I know others that, and this time, it's not one of those times you want to be alone. You don't want to try to stand alone. You don't want to play like you're the rock. You just need to know that when you need to break down, you can break down. When you need to cry or you need to holler, or you need to vent. There's somebody there that you can do it with.
Pastor Mitchell, how disheartening is it for you as someone who is a spiritual leader in the community of Wilkinsburg? You're preaching a message of peace and understanding, and then something like this happens. What is it like for you to deal with it?
You have to try to look outside of that. You know that you're doing a lot of good. But there's always, in anything, there's always that one moment or that one incident that sets you back. And sometimes you let that incident overshadow the greater good. And we know that there's a lot of change in Wilkinsburg. There's so many great people and great churches and great businesses in Wilkinsburg. But because something like this happens, and as big as it is and as bad as it is, it overshadows all the other good things that you've done. So as clergy and as people of faith, we just have to stand and understand, okay, this happened. Well, we still got to keep moving in a positive direction, keep preaching positive things, keep teaching positive things, showing positive things, because of there is so many positive things in this community.
And so as you gather your flock, as we get toward the weekend here, people will be looking to you for an inspirational message. What will you tell them?
If anything, I would just tell them just to understand that no matter what is happening, God is still in control. No matter how bad it looks right now and how sad you might feel, you still have to remember God is still in control. And no matter, we're going through this, but we're not going to go through it alone. We're going to go through this together, and that God is going to get us through it, though it's going to be hard, and there's going to be moments of tears, and there's going to be moments of sometimes when we want to give up. And when we ask those questions, we still have to, when we have those doubtful questions, we still have to say, you know, God's still in control, and we're going to put our faith in him and let him sort it out. And let's keep doing what we need to do to make the best of everything that's going on around us. Make the best of it, and just don't let this tragedy be the thing that brings us to a standstill.
We're talking with Pastor Thomas Mitchell of the Wilkinsburg Ministerium and Sanctuary Project in the wake of last night's tragic events, the killings of 5 people in the borough of Wilkinsburg. We're out of time, Reverend Mitchell, but I want to thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having me. Thank you so much. And our prayers go out to the family, and let them know we're with you.
As do ours. Thank you, sir. And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. Until tomorrow, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.